Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Iruv in Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara's marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Yud Aleph with a piece of Gemara that we saw at the very first Daf on Daf Beis of our Masechta. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side under our Nosei heading, where we have written the following. Tzuras HaPesach L'Hachshir. The Nosei, by the way, is the topic heading for this particular sukkah. We've written Tzuras HaPesach L'Hachshir. We're going to talk about a Tzuras HaPesach. That's the form of a doorway, two upright poles and a crossbar positioned at the entrance of the mavui of the alleyway as a means of allowing carrying in that alley. So we'll see Aleph Pesach Yosem Yeser, the effectiveness of a Tzuras HaPesach when you have an entranceway that is more than 10 amos wide. Of course, these are topics that we've discussed from the very beginning of this Masechta. And Beis Porutz Meruba Al Omeid, a situation where the majority of the enclosed structure is actually open. That's the porutz, is that which is open, literally breached, is more than that which is standing. We'll see illustrations of this when we get into the Gemara. We will see Rav in our sugya will be saying Tzuras HaPesach Eino Mo'il B'movui Yoser Me'eser. Rav's opinion is that the Tzuras HaPesach is not effective for enabling a Movui to be more than 10 amos wide. In other words, if your Movui is more than 10 amos wide and you thought to rely on a Tzuras HaPesach to machshir such a Movui, so that will not work. Rav Yosef says Tzuras HaPesach Eino Matir Chotzer Sheporutz Merubo Ala Omeid. To rely on a Tzuras HaPesach formation around a courtyard that's enclosed, but most of it is not with a solid wall, but rather most of it is open, that will not be considered an enclosure. We should point out, by the way, that a Tzuras HaPesach, we've spoken about upright poles and a crossbeam. The cross piece might very well be something like a string as well. That's a Tzuras HaPesach. As we get into the Gemara, we'll see a crown shape. This is to highlight Shitas Rav and later Rabbi Yochanan, that they are of the same opinion. Tzuras HaPesach Eino Mo'il L'Yoser Me'eser. We now turn to the Gemara. Masni Lei Rav Yehuda L'Chiyo Barav Kamei Derav. Rav Yehuda was teaching the son of Rav a Mishnah. In fact, he was teaching what would appear to be our Mishnah from Daf Beis, in which it says that if you have the entrance of a Movui has a Tzuras HaPesach form, namely, it has two uprights and a cross piece going across from one pole to the other, forming the image of an entranceway, a Tzuras HaPesach, so the Movui is not limited to the 10 Amos that we had been speaking about up to that point, if you want to rely, let's say, on a Lechi or a Korah. But if you have a Tzuras HaPesach, so then we don't limit the entranceway to a mere 10 Amos. Well, upon hearing that, namely the effectiveness of a Tzuras HaPesach, Omar Lei, Rav, the father of Chiyah, interjected and he said, Asnei Tzorech Lemait, teach my son something more accurate, namely that even if there is a Tzuras HaPesach, you do have to reduce the width of such an alleyway. In other words, you'd have to build up some a partial wall to close off such a large gaping opening. Omar Rav Yosef, Midivrei Rabbeinu Nilmad. From Rav, we can conclude, Chotzer Sheruba Psochim V'Chalonos, Eino Niteres B'Tzuras HaPesach. Now, in order to appreciate this, the Pirush Chai, which is the book of illustrations authored by Rav Chaim Porush that we have been using till now, from the very beginning of this Masechta, the Pirush Chai has an illustration of this. You'll notice it on page 23, illustration 139. It's a courtyard that's enclosed, but if you take into consideration how much is actually closed versus that which is open, you'll notice that the majority is not built up, the majority is open. So Rav Yosef concludes from what we just heard in the name of Rav that this kind of enclosure will not be sufficient to enclose it and form a reshus hayochid, and on Shabbos it would then be forbidden to carry in such a poorly enclosed area. Now, how does Rav Yosef reach this conclusion? My time off. So we are going to see now Rav Yosef's point. It takes a few lines to develop this point. So we continue, and he explains. We know that Rav's position on the width of a Movui is that more than 10, before Rav, the basic halacha of the Mishnah is that a Movui more than 10 wide is unfit, and you cannot carry in such a Movui. Uporeitz meruba al ha'oimed oiser b'chotzer, and as a general rule, that which is more open than closed, when you're dealing with a chotzer enclosure, renders the chotzer unfit to carry in. So we have two examples of things that are unfit, and we've labeled them. Aleph is yoser me'eser, and Beis porutz meruba oimed. Yoser me'eser has movui relevance. Porutz meruba al oimed has chotzer relevance. Ma yoser me'eser ha'oser b'movui. The Yoser Me'eser problem of a Movui Eino Nitar B'Tzuras HaPesach, that's what Rav said, that a Tzuras HaPesach doesn't help for that problem. So Af Porutz Merubo Ala Oimed HaOiser B'Chotzer, so to this phenomenon of more open than closed, which ruins a Chotzer, Eino Nitar B'Tzuras HaPesach. This is what Rav Yosef was claiming. And he's really claiming that Rav would say this point, that a Tzuras HaPesach would not be effective to consider such a chotzer enclosed. And that's what's illustrated in illustration 139. The Gemara, though, rejects this. And that's why you see to the side of the Gemara text of Dalin, which represents Dechia. How, basically, the Gemara is saying, how can you compare these two psulim, these two deficiencies we had marked Aleph and Beis? And it's important to read them as phrases, as concepts, to make it easier. So the Gemara says, Ma liyoyser mi'eser ha'oyser b'movui, shekein lo hitarta boi eitzel pase biroz l'Rebbe Meir. The problem of Yoser Me'eser is a more severe type deficiency. So how can you learn from the Yoser Me'eser, which is not solved by the Tzuras HaPesach, as Rav said, being that Yoser Me'eser is something that's not allowed in a Pase Biros setup either, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's version of Pase Biros is such that the gap between the corners in the forming the Pase Biros, which we saw illustrated in illustration 121, the illustration there was to illustrate the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But according to Rabbi Meir, the opening between those right angles is limited to 10. In other words, not like the illustration has, which is 13 and a third. That is according to Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Meir will not allow an opening of 10, of more than 10 by the Pasei Biros, 10 Amos. So the problem posed by an opening of more than 10 is manifest not only in the case of Mavui, but also in the case of Pasei Biros. Toimar beporutz merubo ala oimeid. Should you say the same thing regarding the problem of Porot's Mubal Oimed that is a problem in a Chotzer? Shekein hitarto eitzel pasei biros ledivrei hakol. In the case of Porot's Mubal Oimed, that's something that does not pose a problem with regard to pasei biros. When you look at the pasei biros diagram, you can see there are right angles that measure just one amo by one amo, but the gap between each corner is very great. It's 10 amos according to Rabbi Meir, it's 13 and a third amos according to Rabbi Yehuda. We are lenient with regard to Porot's Merubo ala Oimeid. Therefore, it could be that the deficiency known as Porot's Merubo ala Oimeid could be solved by Eitzuras HaPesach. So just to go over this point again in a more brief fashion, the deficiency of Yoser Me'eser, I can understand, is not solved by Tzuras HaPesach. But to make the jump that Rav Yosef did and say that Tzuras HaPesach won't help for a Porutz Merubo Ala Oimeid deficiency, that far we won't go. The Gemara continues, Leimo Messiah Alei. Here's a question. We have it as a shin that's encircled, a she'elah. Can we say the following would support Rav Yosef? Structurally, what's interesting in this Gemara is that Rav Yosef made a point. The point was based on a type of logical comparison. But then the Gemara rejected the logic. It's hard to say that the Gemara rejected Rav Yosef, but he rejected the method that Rav Yosef came to in reaching his conclusion. At this point, the Gemara says that, okay, maybe the logic has been rejected, but as far as the din of Rav Yosef is concerned, can we say that his halacha, his legal ruling, stands based on this Tanaic source, which reads as follows. Defanos Halalu. Now we have to skip the bracketed section initially, and you can see the bracket length indicator showing you where the brackets ends. So the source says these defanos, these walls, sheriba bohen psochim v'chalonos, that have a lot of doorways and windows. And let us assume that when we speak about doorways and windows, you have a tzuras hapesach form. Uprights and cross pieces. Ubuvan she oimed merubo al haporutz. The walls, these defanos that happen to have a lot of windows and doors, it's kosher, provided that which is solid, that which is omeid, accounts for more of the enclosure than that which is porutz. Which in simple words means Tzuras HaPesach that we are assuming exists here does not help to allow something that's Porutz Merubo. Rather, this source is telling you that you have to have the Oimeid Merubo ala Porutz. So, if that's the case, so this Tanaic source would be supporting Rav Yosef. We have a bracketed section that we skipped, and we'll go over that now, but the reason for that is we wanted to preserve the smooth reading, so we did the initial skip. Now, let's go back to the beginning of the source. Defanos halalu, sherubon psochin v'chalonos, the walls. Defanos are walls of an enclosure that are mostly psochim v'chalonos. Mutter, it's a kosher enclosure. Ubilvan Shie Oimed Merubo Al HaParotz, provided that the standing is more than the open. The Gemara asks, Shevubon Salkadaitoch, the first phrase here establishes that the majority is open. Elo'emo Shevibo Bohen Psochim Chalonis. The more accurate reading is that he had a lot of, he made a lot of doorways and windows, but not that the majority was doorways and windows. That's the difference between Sherubon is establishing a fact that the majority is open, and Sheriba is a verb indicating someone made a lot of, but not that the majority is. As we saw, this source, especially when you focus on that which we dashed underline, we have that the Shiehe Oimed Meruba, the insistence here is that the majority is omeid, and that Suras HaPesach would not help. And that's based on the assumption that this source is describing an enclosure that has Suras HaPesachs around it. The Gemara says this does not support Rav Yosef Omer Avkana Kitanyo Ahi. This particular source is talking about an enclosure that's Bepischei Shimoi. Pischei are openings. Shimoi is an expression meaning something that's literally destroyed, something that's ruined. In this case, it would mean something that's either ruined or incomplete. And an example of that is in illustrations 140 and 141 in the middle of page 23 of the Pirush Chai. So if you have something like that, you don't have a Tzuras HaPesach, because a Tzuras HaPesach are two uprights and a cross piece. So you can see that in both cases, you don't have an upright. An upright is called by the term mezuzah, which is in addition to the mezuzahs that people affix to their doorways, the doorway posts themselves are called mezuzah. So the courtyard enclosed in, let's say, in 139 is really not like 139 as pictured, but rather is made of a wall that has these kind of openings around it. So with these kind of openings around it, you don't have any Tzuras HaPesach. Had the courtyard looked like 139, Rav Kahana is telling us, it would have been kosher, even though the porutz is meruba, and that is not like Rav Yosef. My pischi shimoi, what do you mean by that? We cheated, so to speak. We looked ahead at the illustrations, but the Gemara itself is asking, what are pischi shimoi? Pligi bo Rav Ruchumi bo Rav Yosef. They argue, Chad Omar Deles Lehu Shikvi, an entranceway that lacks the doorposts. That was what we saw in those illustrations, the right hand illustration. The Chad Omar Deles Lehu Tikra, that it's lacking the cross piece, literally the ceiling piece, the upper piece, as you see in the left hand illustration. The Afra Byochanon Sovar Law, Laha Darav. Here at the Gemara, and with our markings, we connect this to what we said earlier. Rabbi Yochanan also holds, like Rav, that Tzuras HaPesach will not help for a Movui whose entranceway is more than 10 Amos wide. On the side of the Gemara, under our topic heading, we have a Tat Nosei, meaning a subtopic heading, and that's Levarer Im Rabbi Yochanan Sover Karav, Tzuras HaPesach Eino Moi Liyeser Me'eser. We want to clarify this point. Does Rav Yochanan in fact hold like Rav that Tzuras HaPesach is not effective to allow the carrying in a Movui that is more than 10 Amos wide? HaGemora Mevi'a Maise, the Gemara will introduce an incident, She Mosach Odom Zmoiro Al Arba Kundesin Besodeu. It was a case featuring a person that had a field, and he stretched Zmora as a branch, or like a branch of a vine, over four kundesim. Kundesim are poles. And you have a nice illustration of this, 142. And the issue is, what is the status of the area in that enclosure. That enclosure would represent, for our purposes right now, a Tzuras HaPesach. Let us try to emphasize that when we speak about a Tzuras HaPesach, generally speaking, unless otherwise stated, it's you're dealing with uprights and something, a piece going across the tops, over the tops of the uprights. So now let us continue in the Gemara, pointing out by way of our markings that we are about to be, we embark upon a long point. So the Gemara is saying that Rav Yochanan holds like Rav, that V'yaf Rav Yochanan sovar lo lahoda Rav, the Omar. And how do we know that? The Omar Rovin bar Rav Ado, Omar of Yitzchok. How do we know that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav that Tzuras HaPesach will not be effective at it for an opening of more than 10 amos? Well, the Rovin relates to us an incident, Ma'isiv Odin Echod, Mibikas Beis Chorson, a man who came from the area known as Bikas Beis Chorson, Shinoat Arba Kundesim Ba'arba. Pinos HaSodeh, as we said, illustration 142, he, Noat says, he wedged into the ground, or nailed into the ground, four kundes and four poles at four corners of his field. Umosach Zmoiro Aleim, and he drew a branch over the top, a branch in the, you can imagine it in the sense of a vine type branch over the tops of these poles. It brought Maislif Nechachomim. The story came to the attention of the Chomim, the Hetiru Lui, the Inyan Kilayim. And they said that regarding the topic known as Kilayim, the prohibition of planting other vegetation in a vineyard, this would be considered a separation, which means that if you look at the diagram, 142, you'll notice there's a little aleph and a beis on the floor, and which would mean that you could plant, even though the area that is enclosed is a vineyard, where the that's where the aleph is, the where the beis is on the floor, which is on the outside of this enclosed area, you could plant another variety of vegetation. Of you could plant wheat, tomatoes, peppers on the other side. If in the laws of Kilayim, which has to do with the prohibition of intermingling different varieties, Kilayim is not an area of halacha that is governed by strict rules of botany or agriculture. But rather, it's an issue, it's an area where appearance is of utmost importance. Do things appear to be intermingled or not? Therefore, you could have, like in 143, a wall between two varieties, and even though the varieties are very close to one another, but the wall serves as a separation. Hilchus Kilayim, according to what we just saw in the Gemara, says that even a Tzuras HaPesach would form the required separation, and no further distancing of the different varieties is necessary. We continue in the Gemara, noting the names we've highlighted, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. We will be focusing on Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, and hence we add a dashed underline when he appears. We continue. V'yomer Reish Lakish, k'derech shetiru loy le'inyin kilayim, kach etiru loy le'inyin Shabbos. Just like kilayim, the Tzuras HaPesach forms a separation, so too regarding Shabbos, the Tzuras HaPesach forms a wall. And as far as how much is enclosed, it could be a large amount, much more than 10 amos. According to Reish Lakish, we're using a phrase that we wrote in between the lines, which we will use later. Reish Lakish mashve kilayim l'shabbos. He compares Shabbos to Kilayim. In other words, just like by Kilayim it serves as a separation, as a mechitza, so too regarding Shabbos. And the Shabbos ramifications are such that you can carry on Shabbos within the enclosed area. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, le Kilayim hetiru loy, le inyan Shabbos lo hetiru loy. It is the source of Pesach serves as a mechitza regarding kilayim. You can plant two different varieties on either side of the dividing point. However, regarding Shabbos, this does not serve as an enclosure, and you will not be able to carry within. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is a distinction between Shabbos and kilayim. The point continues. We're in the middle of a long point. B'may askinon, what are the details of this branch stretched over the kundesim, the poles? And here we use a double underline to signify the stage development and trying to figure out stages in order to figure out what are we talking about. And we indicate this on the on the side of our Gemara. We have a tatnose, which represents a subtopic, is Tzuras HaPesach Min HaTzad. We will see more about that as we go on, but that's where the cross piece isn't running over the top of the poles. In the Mivne, the structural note, these double underlines represent Shlavim. They are stages, but Birur Mahu Le'inyan Shabbos Lo Hitiru. What did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he says regarding Shabbos, we're not Matir, but Keshir Le'Mesicha Semur Al Arba Kundesim. So let's continue in the Gemara. E Lema Min HaTzad. Diagram or illustration 144. Notice how the zamora, the branch which serves as the cross piece, is running along the upper side of the pole, but not along the top, not over the top. If that is what Rabbi Yochanan is what they're talking about, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. In other words, if it's a min hatzad setup, then. V'ha'omar Rav Chisda, Tzuras HaPesach, Shasu Min HaTzad, Lo Osa V'lo Klum. Rav Chisda says that a Tzuras HaPesach, like you see in 145, that one has made from the side, Lo Osa V'lo Klum, it is of no value. As far as when we say it's of no value, so Rashi and there are two girsos in the Rashi. Also, Klum Rashi says Uleinian Shabbos Amay Hitirulo. According to Reish Lakish, why would someone allow that for Shabbos? And another girsa is Also Klum is Uleinian Kilayim. Why would both of them, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, say that it's good for Kilayim when Rav Chisda says that a Tzuras HaPesach Min HaTzad is just ineffective? So that can't be the case that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are discussing. Elo al gabon. Rather, it must be a case of a Tzuras HaPesach, where the cross piece is running, and the normal Tzuras HaPesach form, al gabon, means on top of the poles. Uvemai, well, what are the circumstances in the case of the story in Bikas Beis Choson that we just read? Ilemo be'eser, if it's within 10 amos, in other words, the upright poles are positioned within 10 amos of each other, would Rabbi Yochanan say that it's not good for Shabbos? Within 10 amos, everyone agrees that that's considered an entrance way. Rather, it must be that we're talking about a Tzuras HaPesach, with the branches in our case are stretched over poles, where the distance of the poles are more than 10 amos apart, and Rabbi Yochanan says it does not work for Shabbos. That is just like Rav that we saw before. So at this point, you see, we've come to the end of the long point. What was the point? That Rabbi Yochanan, who is the subject of this discussion, holds like Rav. And now the Gemara says, Loi. Now a rejection. The Oilom Be'eser. Umin Hatzad. The story involving the field in Bikas Beis Choson was in fact poles of 10 amos apart. And the problem, so to speak, is that the cross piece was running along the side. That's Min Hatzad. The whole machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is whether or not to accept Rav Chisda. Now, what did Rav Chisda say? He said that Minatzad is ineffective. Reish Lakish does not agree. Reish Lakish says that Minatzad is effective. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the spirit of Rav Chisda, that it's ineffective, but that's with regard to Shabbos. But with regard to Kilayim, even Min Hatzad would be effective. But at this point in the Gemara, if we were to accept or stop over here, the story involving Bikas Beis Chorsan does not show us anything about Rabbi Yochanan's position with regard to Rav and a we'll call it a normal Tzuras HaPesach and its effectiveness of more than 10 Amos. It would come out that it could be that it is effective. Continuing in the Gemara, the Rami de Rabbi Yochanan ad Rabbi Yochanan. The Rami de Reish Lakish ad Reish Lakish. We're about to start a question. It's a long question, and we've marked it thusly. This question will continue till the first wide line on Amid Beis. We are going to present what appears to be contradictions within Rabbi Yochanan and contradictions within Reish Lakish. The Omar Reish Lakish. We are using this, we're continuing to use the house marking to highlight the names Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan as we go along. The Omar Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina. He says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Pe'a Muteres Le'inyan Kilayim Avolui L'Shabbos. What is the case of Pe'ah? It is the branch stretched from pole to pole. And that and we are saying here that this is effective with regard to Kilayim, but not with regard to Shabbos. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, kemechitzas l'Shabbos deloy, just like it's ineffective for Shabbos, kach mechitzas l'kilayim deloy, so too, it's not effective with regard to kilayim. What is the problem so far? The problem is that Reish Lakish makes a distinction between kilayim and Shabbos. Compare that to the original Reish Lakish, the first time we saw him in the house. And we emphasized at that point that Reish Lakish compares Kilayim to Shabbos. So we see already an inconsistency. Furthermore, focus momentarily on Rabbi Yochanan. Here, second line from the top, what do we see Rabbi Yochanan doing? Paralleling Shabbos and Kilayim. What did we see Rabbi Yochanan on Omer Aleph doing, where we saw him appearing in a house? We saw there that he differentiated between Kilayim and Shabbos. Let's continue. Bishlamo de Reish Lakish ad Reish Lakish lo ikashya hadidei hadarabei. As far as what we thought might be a problem with regard to Reish Lakish, there is no problem. One case is Reish Lakish speaking on his own, and the other is where he's quoting his rabbi, his Rebbe, namely Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chanina. And it's for that reason, by the way, that at the very bottom of Amud Aleph, after seeing Reish Lakish announced, we dashed underline Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina to show that this point of Reish Lakish, where he makes a distinction between Kilayim and Shabbos, that's not his own opinion. That's what he was quoting in the name of someone else. Elo de Rabbi Yochanan ad Rabbi Yochanan kashya. But as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, we have run into what appears to be an inconsistency. The original Rabbi Yochanan made a distinction between Shabbos and Kilayim, and in this case, he is paralleling the two topics. Gemara says, "I amres bishlamo hosam al gabon hocha min hatzad." If you say that the first statement of Rabbi Yochanan, where the branch pole setup was effective, at least for it was effective for kilayim, granted not for Shabbos, but it was effective for kilayim. So that's a case where the branch was running al gabon, hocha min hatzad. Here, where it's not effective at all, even for kilayim, it's because it's a poor setup. It's running along the side of the poles as opposed to across the top. And what we have to do is just note the little star to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. Go back to Omer Aleph. This little star, parallel star, which indicates on the base there, you could see four lines from the bottom. At that point, the Gemara had spoken about, we had come to the end of a long point where we saw an attempt to set up Rabbi Yochanan like Rav, where you're dealing with a normal, across-the-top Tzuras HaPesach. And in that discussion, we saw Rabbi Yochanan making a distinction. And as far as the Min Hatzad setup, that is what the Gemara tried to do. The Gemara tried to reject that by setting up the long point as talking about Min Hatzad. At this point, just compare the dot underlining. At the fourth line from the bottom of Yud Aleph Omen Aleph, we tried to say that was a case of Min Hatzad. Here, we are saying not so. That's why this is all brought in as a long question. Because we're going back at this point and saying that the case that featured the story in the Bikas Beis Chorson was a case, in fact, of Al Gabon. And if you take this approach, then Rabbi Yochanan will match Rav. And here, Rabbi Yochanan, the second line from the top, is talking about a different kind of Tzuras HaPesach, where the cross piece is going Min Hatzad Shapir. With that, then, we have resolved what would have appeared to be an inconsistency. There's no inconsistency where Rabbi Yochanan accepts the Tzuras HaPesach as effective for Kilayim. That's because it's Al Gabon. Where Rabbi Yochanan says it's not effective not only for Shabbos but for Kilayim as well, it's ineffective. That's Min Hatzad. Continuing in the Gemara, Elo e Amris Edi the Edi Min Hatzad. But if you're going to say that both appearances of Rabbi Yochanan were describing a Tzuras HaPesach Min Hatzad, and if you take this approach, then we won't see that Rabbi Yochanan goes like Rav in the previous discussion. Then my Iko Lameima, then we really do have a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers, Li Oilom Idi Vidi Min Hatzad. In fact, both statements of Rabbi Yochanan are Min Hatzad. And if you say this, then we won't be able to parallel Rabbi Yochanan to Rav like we tried to illustrate with the crowns back on Omer Aleph. We won't be able to parallel them. However, we still don't have a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan. Hosam be'eser, hocha be'yosem me'eser. In the Bikas Beis Chorson case where Rabbi Yochanan said it's effective for Kilayim, it's because the poles were no more than 10 amos apart. In the second case, namely the second line from the top here, where Rabbi Yochanan says it's ineffective even for Kilayim, it's Yoser Me'eser, more than 10 amos apart. Umino Temro Deshoni Lon Bain Eser LeYoser Me'eser. From where do we see in the realm of Kilayim a distinction made between 10 and more than 10 when the top piece is across the side of the pole? The Gemara answers. This is a long answer. Diomale Rabbi Yochanan the Reish Lakish. Lo kachoya maisha maise was the following, not the story. Shalach Rabbi Yeshua to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lilmud Torah. Rabbi Yeshua went to Rabbi Yochanan to learn Torah. Afal pi sheboki behilchis kilayim, even though Rabbi Yeshua was an expert in hilchis kilayim, Rabbi Yeshua asked the following question. Umotzoi sheyoshev bein olanus umotzach zmorah meilan leilan. Rabbi Yeshua had noticed that there was a branch. They were sitting amongst trees, and there was a branch stretching from one tree to the other. And there's an illustration that's helpful here on page 24, illustration 146. It's the second illustration. This is what Rabbi Yeshua noticed. The Omar Lo, and Rabbi Yeshua asked, Rabbi, I gifanim kan, mahu lizroa kan, if vines are on one side, grapevines are on one side, can I plant other vegetation on the other side of this string? Omar Lo, be'eser mutter, be'yosem eser oser. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri answers that if the uprights are within 10, it would be allowed. If the uprights are more than 10, it would be forbidden. B'may askinon, what are the circumstances? E lemo al gabon, if you're talking about the cross piece, the string or the branches above, going across the top of the uprights. Yoser me eser oser, if the uprights were more than 10, would that be forbidden? V'ha tanya, we have the following source that says hoyu shom konim adukrana v'osalem peah milamala. There were upright poles, and a peah is the branch stretched across above the poles. Afilu b'yoser me eser mutter, even if it's more than 10, the uprights are more than 10, then regarding kilayim, it would be allowed to plant the two different varieties. You have the vines on one side of the string or the branch going across the top of the poles, and a different variety of vegetation on the other side. Elolav min hatzad. Rather, the story or involving Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's answer must have been min hatzad. The Ka'amar Lei, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri told him, be'eser mutter, yoyser me'eser oser. If the uprights are 10 apart, it's allowed. If it's more than 10 apart, they are not allowed. Shmamino. So this shows us that when you're dealing with min hatzad, a distinction is made between 10 and more than 10. All after all said and done in this discussion, then Rabbi Yochanan, there is no evidence that Rabbi Yochanan really holds like Rav regarding Eitzuras HaPesach with and more than 10 amos, because Rabbi Yochanan was addressing a case of Eitzuras HaPesach min hatzad, whereas the original statement of Rav was discussing the accepted or the normal Eitzuras HaPesach of al gabon. So to say, it's they're just talking about two different topics. Therefore, you can't draw conclusions regarding the position of Rabbi Yochanan from the story in the Bikas Beis Chorsen and his position regarding what Rav was talking about. Before we continue with our Gemara, we glance at the side under our Mivneh heading. We will be using a double underline to highlight Dinim Shel Rav Chisda B'Tzuras HaPesach. Gufa. Omar Rav Chisda, Tzuras HaPesach Sh'asa Min Hatzad, Lo Osa V'lo Klum. This quote we already saw, where he makes a general point that a Tzuras HaPesach where the cross piece is attached to the upper side of the pole as opposed to over the top of the pole, that kind of Tzuras HaPesach is ineffective. As far as what it is ineffective for, that is an open discussion. But he says that a Tzuras HaPesach that's min hatzad is ineffective. The Omer of Chisda, Tzuras HaPesach she'omru, the Tzuras HaPesach that we have spoken about, and we can focus about on the Tzuras HaPesach, for example, that would be positioned across the top of across the entrance of a movui. Tzrichus te briyo kidei lahamid bo delis. It has to have strength In other words, it can't be too flimsy. It has to be enough strength that you could, in theory, attach a door to the uprights. V'afilu delis shel kashin. Even if it's a straw, lightweight door, that's okay. But it has to have enough strength to, in other words, the what we call the potential has to be there for a door, an actual door, even if you don't literally place a doorway there. Another halacha regarding the things that are necessary for a tzuras haPesach is the of what's called heker tzir. There's an illustration of this in 148 on page 24. This is the hole in the floor into which the hinge of a door is placed. We're talking about door hinges where they're like pins that come from the upper corner and the lower corner of the door, and the door is slipped into holes and the door will swivel on those type hinges. So Reish Lakish is talking about the Heker Tzir, and here the Gemara asks, what do you mean by Heker Tzir? My Heker Tzir? What do you mean by that? Omar Rav Avyo Avaksa. Avaksa is the hole we just described. And Rashi spells it out. He says, Chor Shetzir HaDelos Sovev Bo, the hole in which a door would swivel. V'Aval Bishayinot Tzricho Delos, even though the halacha of Tzuras HaPesach doesn't insist on an actual door being there, Miuchazil Delos Binin, nevertheless, the Tzuras HaPesach has to be something that's fit to have a doorway, if I should so desire. Continuing in the Gemara, Ashkachinu Rav Acha Brei de Rav Avi le Talmide de Rav Ashi. Rav Acha met the students of Rav Ashi. Omar Lehu, Rav Acha asks, Omar Mor Midi B'Tzuras HaPesach, did Rav Ashi, Mor is the master, did Rav Ashi say anything about Tzuras HaPesach? Omru Le, Lo Omar V'Lo Klum. They said, no, he didn't say anything about Tzuras HaPesach. Tzuras HaPesach Shomru, the idea of a Tzuras HaPesach that has been spoken about, Konamikan, V'Konamikan, V'Kona Al Gabehen. Two uprights, the Kona is an upright, a pole, a reed, or a pole from both sides, and Kona Al Gabehen would be a cross piece going above the two. The Gemara now asks a question that is also used to introduce our discussion, our sugi on the side under the Nosei. We've written Tzuras HaPesach, I bo'inon raglov noigois betikra. When we speak about the Tzuras HaPesach, we speak about two uprights. Those are the legs that are attached to the tikra as the piece going across the top. Looking at illustration 149 at the bottom of page 24 in your Pirush Chai, you can see two possibilities where the upright piece is attached to the poles, or the upright piece is over the poles, but it's not actually touching them. Let's see the Gemara. Tzrichin liga, oy ein tzrichin liga. Does the tikra, the upright pole, have to touch the legs, or if you be accurate here, the tzrichin is in the plural, so it means do the two legs have to touch the upright, or the cross piece or not? Rav Nachman Omar ein tzrichin liga. Rav Sheshes Omar tzrichin liga. So we have a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Ozal Rav Nachman v'ovat uvda be Reish Galusa kishmaitse. Rav Nachman went and ruled according to his own teaching, and his ruling resulted in the leniency where the uprights don't have to touch the crosspiece. So, in the house of the Exilarch, the Reish Galusa, they set up an enclosure with relying on a Tzuras HaPesach, and in that story, the legs did not touch the crosspiece. There was a gap. Omar Le Rav Sheshes L'Shamei Rav Gada. Rav Sheshes turned to his servant, whose name was Rav Gada. Shamei is a servant. And Rav Sheshes became aware of what they did in the Reish Galusa. Rav Sheshes sent his servant, and he said, Zil Shlof Shadinu, go and undo it. Knock down, wreck their Tzuras HaPesachs. Ozal Sholaf Shadinu. Well, he went as he was commanded, and he slipped them out. The word Sholaf even reminds you of the English word slip. If you look at it phonetically, he slipped it out, and Shadinu and threw them aside. Ashkechu de Reish Galusa, the members of the Reish Galusa, of the exilarch's household, saw what he was doing. Chavshu, and they incarcerated Rav Gadol. Also, Rav Sheshes, Koma Bova, Rav Sheshes came to the door where Rav Gadol was being held. Omar Le, and he called out, Gadol Pok Ta, Gadol, come out. Nofak Viosa, he came out and left. In other words, Rav Sheshes felt that he was in the right, and that Rav Gadol was simply doing what he was told to do. Ashkeche Rav Sheshes, the Rabba Bar Shmuel. Rav Sheshes meets Rabba. Omar Le, Rav Sheshes asks, Tony Mor Midi Bitsuras HaPesach? Do you have any teaching regarding Tzuras HaPesach? Any sources on the topic of Tzuras HaPesach? This encounter reminds us a little bit of what we saw above, where Rav Acha met the students of Rav Ashi and asked, did Rav Ashi say anything about Tzuras HaPesach there? The answer was no. In this case, Rav Sheshes meets Rabba Bar Shmuel and asks, Do you have any teaching on Tzuras HaPesach? And here you get a different answer. Malayin, yes, I have something for you. Tanina, I have a Tanaic source. Now, we're going to ruin the story a little bit for you and tell you that this Tanaic source is, in effect, going to be against Rav Sheshes. Bear in mind the story. Rav Sheshes is asking Rabba Bar Shmuel for a source on the issue of Tzuras HaPesach, and he's going to hear something, but it's not going to really please Rav Sheshes too much. It's going to be against what he thought is the case. Now, the issue of Tzuras HaPesach has ramifications for the laws of mezuzah, the parchment that we attach to the entrance to our doorways, to the doorways at the entrance of our homes, or gateways, etc. There's an expectation or an acknowledgement that a mezuzah is affixed to a, we'll call it a doorway, and the doorway has to have uprights, doorposts, if you will, and it has to have a lintel going across the top. The source says, kippah. Kippah is an archway. You can see, maybe it's an obvious illustration, but illustration number 150. That's a kippah. Rabbi Meir Mechayev b'mezuzah, v'chomim potrin. Does an archway entrance require mezuzah? So at this point it would seem that it's a controversy. It's Rabbi Meir says yes, Rabbi Chomim say no. V'shavin, but there is agreement, Sheim yesh b'raglo asoro shi chayeves. If the archway, which is a curvature, but the curvature does not start until the entrance reaches a height of 10 tfochim. In other words, if the sides of the archway are straight, they are a total 90 degree angle with the floor, they're straight up for 10 tfochim, and after that, only then does it start to arch inwards. Even the Chachamim agree that it's chayev in a mezuzah. Imagine that for a second. When we have the uprights, they're going for 10 tfachim. Where is the crossbeam that is part of the mezuzah requirement? Where's the crossbeam relative to those legs, to those uprights? The crossbeam is somewhere further up in the wall. Only the upper part of the wall, after the curvature, after the semicircle forming the archway finishes, then you have the wall above that. That would be your crossbeam. So is the crossbeam in an archway setup, is the cross piece touching the legs? No. The legs, we're illustrating, are the upright part of the archway, 10 tefachim. After you reach a height of 10 tefachim, then it starts to the arch starts to curve in. But at that point, it's a space. It's the arch, isn't it? Where's the cross piece? The cross piece is the part of the wall above the archway. That would form the cross piece in your mind's eye. So you see that an entranceway, the Tzuras HaPesach, if you will be chayev in a mezuzah, and as we said, a mezuzah requires having, in addition to the uprights, it has to have a cross piece. Does the cross piece touch the legs, the uprights? No. This is against Rav Sheshes. Let's take a look at Rashi. Chayeves. Rashi we're looking at is further up on the page, about almost halfway down the Rashi commentary. Chayeves, toho yesh bo asora gova, the uprights form 10 tvochim of height, berochav arbo, and the space between them is 4 tvochim. In other words, there's an entranceway that is a minimum of 4 tvochim in width. Vafilu kolo igul sosum, nishar shom shiur pesach kosher. Even if the archway itself, the curvature, were sealed up, you would still have an entranceway of 10 tefachim of height and 4 tefachim of width, which would be the minimum, but nevertheless an entranceway requiring a mezuzah. Alma, what do we see from this halacha with the archway? Ein srichin liga, the uprights, the side poles, don't have to touch the cross piece. The entranceway is made into a true Pesach by its legs. And the eagle is the curvature of the archway, the circle, the semicircle formed by the curvature of the archway, separates between the tikra, the roof of this, and the mezuzos, and the uprights, v'katoni chayavus, and it says that it nevertheless is chayav in a mezuzah. We should point out, maybe at this point it's already obvious, but if you had if you have an entranceway where there are uprights, but there's nothing across the top, it's totally open, there's no cross piece whatsoever, that would not be chayav in a mezuzah. At this point then in our Gemara, we've come to a point, having read this Tanaic source, we dashed under the chayeves, and we pointed out that this source is not like Rav Sheshes. There's a bracketed section in the Gemara. We use this for skipping. Omar Lei Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says to Rabo Bar Shmuel, Imashkachas lehu, if you see members of the Bei Reish Galusa, lo temo lehu velo midi meho masnisa dekipa. Don't tell them anything about this Tanaic source. You can imagine very well why Rav Sheshes was interested in keeping this a secret from the Bei Reish Galusa. As we said, Rav Sheshes in the story, he knocked down their Tzuras HaPesach based on the fact that it followed Rav Nachman's ruling that the cross piece doesn't have to touch the legs. Rav Sheshes figured cross piece has to touch the legs. But this Tanaic source indicates cross piece does not have to touch the legs. So we'll say, in our terms at least, to save face, it was important for Rav Sheshes not to have this source revealed. Just a side point, or by way of editorializing, this kind of interchange needs some further clarification, because in general, we know that the Chachmei HaTalmud are very interested in the truth and exposing the truth. Here, there must be some type of additional consideration, interactions, political maneuverings, etc., that the Gemara is not spelling out, but there is room for some further investigation as to what really was taking place behind the scenes, because we, generally speaking, don't look at our Tanoim and Amoroim in terms of, we'll just say, common hankering and arguments. They really rose above that. And issues of simply saving face and honor and all are something that we would assume the Amoroim had risen above that. However, if there are additional considerations, the Reish Galusa, that household was not the easiest institution to deal with, and there are other Gemaras to prove that point. There were slaves that were hired by the that were in the employment of the Reish Galusa that were violators of halacha, and you can rest imagine, if we allow ourselves to editorialize for another minute or two, one could rest assured that if the workers in the house of the Reish Galusa would get wind that Rav Sheshes was wrong, they might just overdo it, so to speak, and start to violate other teachings of Rav Sheshes that are quite accurate. So it was important for Rav Sheshes, knowing that he was dealing with the Bei Reish Galusa, he wasn't trying to keep this source a secret, let's say, from Rav Nachman, but from the Bei Reish Galusa it was important for him to keep this a secret, because that otherwise would have opened up a Pandora's box and a flood of other halachic violations. And there's a lot of precedent in the Shas for saying things that aren't 100% accurate, but for the sake of preserving more significant areas of halacha, these changes or these maneuverings had to be made. As we said, this is all conjecture, worthy of a separate analysis. But in the context of our Daf Yomi Shir, we're going to go back to the Gemara. We go to the bracketed section that we skipped, and here we're going to focus on the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan regarding the archway and a mezuzah requirement. So now we can focus on that. Omar Abaye. Hakol Moidim Im Gavoa Asor Vein Ragla Shlosha. Everyone will agree if the archway reaches a height of 10 tvachim, but the uprights aren't upright for even 3 tvachim. In other words, the curvature starts very quickly. Picture 152 at the top of page 25 attempts to illustrate this. So you have an archway that we can call it. It starts arching very quickly. Everyone will agree in that case. Inami, another point they'll agree about. Yesh bragla shloshvim gavoa asora, where there are uprights of 3 tvachim, but it never reaches a height of 10 tvachim. It's a very narrow type entranceway. Velo klum, no mezuzah will be required. So that in cases Aleph and Beis here, there will be no mezuzah requirement. Even according to Rabbi Meir, who was seemingly more expectant of having a mezuzah. Key pligi, where does the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim arise when dealing with an archway? B'yesh b'ragleh shloisha v'gavoa asara. The archway doesn't start arching till more than 3 tvachim of upright. Illustration 153. So you see there, there's a, we're of course assuming there's a width of 4 tvachim or more. The upright is 3 tvachim, and the archway itself reaches a height of, a minimum height of 10 tvachim. V'ein rechova arboa, above the 3 tvachim mark, the doorway is no longer 4 tvachim wide. However, it's a doorway that's in a wall, and there's wall material that could be chiseled away. Again, here we're talking in your mind's eye. V'yesh bo lochuk lashlimu larbo. That's in the illustration. If you look at the dotted frame that's formed by the dots there, if in that in illustration 153, the potential for having a 4-wide, 10-tall entranceway all the way till the top exists. Rabbi Meir Sovar, Chokikin Lahashlim. Rabbi Meir says that in your mind's eye, we view it as chiseled out, Lahashlim, to complete the required measurements, 4-wide, 10-tall. Rabbonan Savri, Ein Chokikin Lahashlim. Rabbonan, who said it's exempt, Potter, is because they were talking about this case, and it's in this case that they say, Ein Chokikin Lahashlim. You don't carve out or chisel away in your mind's eye to complete the shiur. In other words, the Rabbanan or we'll call pragmatists. If it's already 4-wide, 10-tall completely, it's 4-wide all the way up till the 10 tefach mark, put a mezuzah. But if it's not 4-wide for all of the 10 tefachim of width, of height, if it's not 4-wide for all 10 tefachim of width, rather it curves in, it does not require a mezuzah. However, just to repeat a point we saw before, if it has a side post of 10 tefachim height, 4 tefachim of width, all the way up till the 10 tefach mark, and after that, it starts to curve in, forming an arch, the Rabbanan will mechayiv a mezuzah. You'll ask, well, where's the cross piece? It's above the arch. But the cross piece doesn't touch the uprights, the legs of 10 tefachim. Okay, that doesn't matter. That's not binding. It was that point that ran against Rav Sheshes, and as we saw previously, Rav Sheshes didn't want that to be known, let known to the Bei Resh Galusa. Let us now continue with the Mishnah. Hechsher Mavui, Beishamai Omrim Lechi V'Koira, Beisil Omrim Oy Lechi Oy Koira. The Tanakhama says that in order to enable an alleyway to be an area in which you can carry on Shabbos, so Beishamai says you need to have a Lechi, an upright post, and a crossbeam. Beis Hillel says one or the other, or a Lechi or a Koira. Rabbi Lezer Omer L'Choyayin. Rabbi Lezer says you need to have two uprights. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omar Talmud Echod Lifnei Rabbi Akiva Loi Nechliku Beishamai Ubeis Hillel Al Movui Shehu Pochos Me Arba Amos Shehu Nitar Oibalechi Obakura. This opinion says that there would be no argument between Beishamai and Beis Hillel regarding a Movui whose entranceway width is less than 4 amos. Everyone will agree, one or the other, Lechi or Korah. In other words, Beis Shammai, who said you have to have Lechi and Korah, was not talking about an entranceway less than 4 amos of width. Alma Nechliku Al Rochov Me Arba Amos V'ad Eser. So what were they arguing about? Something that was between 4 amos and 10 amos of width. Shebeishamarim lechi v'koro, beisolamarim oi lechi oi koro. It's regarding that case that Beishamai says you need to have both upright and cross piece. Beisol is saying one or the other. Omar Rabbi Akiva, al zeh ve'al zeh nechliku. Rabbi Kiva says that even the case of less than 4 amos of width, you find the machlokis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. On Daf, Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara will discuss what is the difference between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanna Kamma. It's the number one opinion in the Mishnah and this number three opinion in the Mishnah. Let us now continue with the Gemara. Keman, we're assuming that our Mishnah is talking about an alleyway that's mefulash. That's an assumption that we're making as we open up the discussion. And if you make that assumption, a mavui mefulash is a mavui that is a through alleyway. It's open at two ends. Now, if you learn like that, then keman, our Mishnah, is like whom? The lo kechananya veloi ketanakamo. It's not like either one of these tanoim that we have seen in the past, back on Dav Vov. According to these tanoim, you need to have more than Lehi and Korah. According to Tanakama there, we saw the need for a Tzuras HaPesach in a Movi Mefulash. According to Hananya, he featured Machlokis Beisham Beisilo, where there was an actual door that was needed. We don't see either one of those elements in our Mishnah. So our Mishnah then would not be like Hananya, nor like the Tanna Kamma over there on Da Vov. Omar Rav Yehuda Hachi Komar. Rav Yehuda says, let's reread the Mishnah. Hechshir Mavui Sosum Ketzad. Right away, you see we dashed underline Sosum. That means that we're talking about a type of Mavui that wasn't part of the Hananya Tanna Kamma discussion on Da Vov. What I like to call a regular Mavui, a dead-end... three-sided mavui, only one entrance way opening to a public thoroughfare. A hechsher of a mavui like that, how do you make it so that you can carry in the alleyway on Shabbos? Beishamayim lechi v'koro, beisila omrim olechi okoro. It's regarding that kind of alleyway that lechi and koro figure without the need for a tzuras ha-pesach or anything else. Beishamay Omrim, Lechi V'Korah. This is a quote from what we just saw. L'meimra, D'kosavar, D'kosavri Beishamay, Arba Mechitzis De'Raisa. If you have a three-sided Mavui, and on the opening, you've got to have a Lechi and Korah, according to Beishamay. By requiring a Lechi and Korah, it sounds like he's trying to form a proper wall, a complete enclosure. And only then you would be allowed to carry in the Mavui on Shabbos. Are we suggesting that Beis Shammai is of the opinion that from a Torah standpoint, you have to have four walls to establish a Rishus Ayochad, a private domain? This is a very, very big Shas issue of how many walls do you, in fact, need to establish a Rishus Ayochad. This opinion of needing four walls, it's something that is, we would say, is not a common or popular opinion. Hence, the Gemara is asking with this tone of wonderment, is Beis Shammai of that school of thought that says that it's not considered a Rishus Ayochad to have four sides enclosed? The Gemara says, Loi. That's not Beis Shammai's opinion. In other words, from a Torah level, something that is three-sided enclosure is a Rishus Ayochad. Labeling something Rishus Ayochad has ramifications in a number of directions. For example, if someone were standing in a public thoroughfare, Rishus HaRabim, and throws an item into a Rishus HaYochid, he is guilty of a Shabbos violation, a Torah level violation of Hachnosa. It's Hoitzo and Hachnosa. A Rishus HaYochid is an area that if you're contained within it, so you are allowed to carry things. The Gemara here says, as far as the opinion of Beis Shammai, Lizrok Misholosh Hu Demachayev. As far as holding someone guilty for throwing something from a public domain to a Rishus HaYochad, a private domain, even if it's enclosed on three sides, he is in violation of a Shabbos Torah level prohibition. So three sides is enough to establish a Rishus HaYochad. However, as far as leniency is concerned, letaltel ad deika arba. But in order to allow carrying within an enclosed area, which represents a leniency, there we require it to be enclosed on four sides. And the fourth side enclosure is represented here by having an upright plus a cross piece. As Rashi says, this is a gzeira d'rabbanan, it's a rabbinic stringency that was imposed to allow something of a lenient nature. Beis Hillel omrim oy lechi oy kura. Beis Hillel says, as far as the entranceway to a mavui, if it's enough, you have either a lechi or a kura. You are dealing here with a mavui that's closed on three sides, and on the fourth side, Beis Hillel is requiring something else. He's requiring a lechi or a kura. So, does this indicate to us Lemo Kosavri Beis Hillel Sholosh Mechitzos Doraisa? Is this a function of Beis Hillel holding that three Mechitzos are necessary before something is established as a Rishus HaYochid? No, that's not what we are to conclude from this. Lizrok Mishtaimu de Mechayev. In fact, Beis Hillel holds that a private domain is established on a Torah level by having two walls. In other words, you can have an area that has only two walls and is open on two ends, and that's called a Rishus HaYochid. And on a Torah level, as we indicated, there are ramifications that if one were to stand outside of this two-walled area and throw into that area between the two walls, he would be guilty of going from public domain to the private domain, that which is between the two walls. The taltel, however, to carry ad deiko shalosh. In order to carry, then we require three sides. Rabbi Eliezer Omer l'chayayin. Rabbi Lezer said that in order to allow a mavui to be a place you can carry in, you need to have two uprights. Ibayaloho, Rabbi Lezer l'chayayin v'kora komar. Rabbi Lezer, does he require, in addition to the two uprights, a cross piece as well? Oidilmo l'chayayin below kora komar, or two uprights without the kora, the beam going across the top. Toshma. So we bring the following source, and on the side of the Gemara, this is in fact what we've labeled it as the topic, that Rabbi Lezer, the boy l'chayim, Rabbi Lezer requires two uprights, ha'im tzorech gam ken kora oyloi, does he require a kora as well, or not? So the Gemara answers with this toshma, come and hear the following source. Now, we have a long marking that you can see to the side of the Gemara, where we've abbreviated toshma, and it lasts quite a few lines down Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So just note that ahead of time. Toshma, Maisa b'Rabbi Eliezer, Shaholach Eitz Rabbi Yossi ben Predo, Talmido, Le Ovlin. Ovlin, we're at the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Ovlin is the name of a place. So Rabbi Eliezer, whose name we dashed underlined because we're focusing on his Shita, he visited his student, Rabbi Yossi, and he found the rabbi who was visiting, namely Rabbi Lezer, found his student sitting in an alleyway that had only one upright pole at the entranceway. Bini, asay lechi acher. He says, you've got to set up another lechi. Omar lo v'chi l'sosmo ani tzorich. He says, do I have to seal it up? Amalei yistomu mabekach. Well, yeah, seal it up. So what? At this point, there's a bracketed section. Let us skip this section. You can use the arrows to the side of the Gemara to find we're picking up. Chatoni mihas, it however says, v'chilus so small ani tzorach. The student has said, do I have to seal it up? And Rebbe Lezer says, yeah. So, when Rebbe Lezer was telling him to put up the second lefi, what was he really saying? E amas bishlamo l'chayim v'kora. If you say like the Aleph possibility, in our Aleph Odilmo Beis structure at the bottom of the previous Amud Beis, if you say like the first possibility, that Lechi and Kora are what Rebbe Lezer requires, Mishamochi Omar, that's why the student reacted. What, are you expecting me to seal it up? V'chilas Sosmani Tzorach? In other words, when Rebbe Lezer was telling him to put up a second Lechi, in effect was telling him put up the second Lechi and a cross piece. And that brought out the reaction. What am I? You expecting me to seal it up? If all that Rebbe Lezer was requiring was a second upright pole without a cross piece, my lusosma, why that reaction of sealing it up? Just a second upright pole wouldn't represent sealing up. So at this point, this is the end of the long Toshma, at which point we're trying to show that Rebbe Lezer was requiring a Kairo in addition to the two uprights, and all based on the word Lesosmo in this story. The Gemara, however, rejects this. Hachi Ka'omar. What the student was saying to Rebbe Lezer was, in other words, do I have to seal it up, so to speak? This was, of course, an expression of exaggeration, but do I have to seal it up with uprights? In other words, even in using the word lesosmo, all he was referring to was the additional upright. No reference to a kora, to a cross piece. So that, as far as the story is concerned, we don't come to a conclusion. The question remains as far as what is Rebbe Lezer's shita. Do you need to have, in addition to the two uprights, do you need a cross piece or not? So we attempted to show one way and then we rejected that, leaving you with the feeling that it might be that all you require, according to Rebbe Lezer, are the two uprights without a cross piece. Now we have a bracketed section. We'll read the bracketed section. However, the Gemara that Amir Tzashem in our next shiur, the Gemara that opens up our next year, will deal with this bracketed section. That's why we suggested initially skipping it, because it's not part of our current discussion. But because it's part of the source that we read, let's go over and read the brackets, understanding, of course, that the Gemara will deal with it next time. So in the brackets, it says, Omrav Shumam Liel. Lo nechku beisham beisil al movui shu pochos me arba amois she'eino tzorach klum. Beisham beisil have no argument regarding a movui whose entranceway is very narrow, namely it's less than 4 amos wide. You don't need anything. Al ma nechliku al rochov me arba amos viad eser. A movui whose entranceway measures from 4 amos till 10 amos, she beishamim lechi v'korah. There, beishamim says you have to have both a lechi and a korah. Beis Hillel omrim oy lechi oy korah. Beis Hillel says one or the other. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.